Okay, maybe we can start. Glad to see so many of you on the call, and even Mirjana is on the call. Mirjana, oh no, sorry, that was from David, and because I saw that there were apologies from Mirjana. Probably that was corrected. Okay, can we start?
Yes.
Are you ready to start?
Kim, can you start the recording, please?
The recordings have started.
Thank you very much. So hello, everyone. Glad to see so many of you on the call. I hope you had some time to read the latest version we have in the Google Docs. But probably before we start, we give you some update about some update how far we are with our coordination with GNSO, meaning with RYSG. Bart and I, we were on several calls with Donna and ICON staff work on the implementation of CSC, and there are some things that we have we discussed, and definitely it's a little bit clearer now. And Bart tried to show everything that we discussed, well, most of the things that we discussed on the latest version of our guideline. So unfortunately we cannot find the timeline yet. The last one we discussed during the call. I'll try to give you some something just from memory. First of all, you all know that this customer standing committee must be in place by mid-August. Before that, we need to get all members and all liaisons from all those stakeholders that will want to have their liaisons on CSC. ICON is planning to send out kind of, it's not a call for volunteers, it's like they're planning to kick off the entire process by informing all SOs and ACs about the process and inviting everybody to submit their candidates basically we decided that there will be one email address, and everybody will send, I think it was the ICON secretary who will get all the selections for each here we have this timeline now. And the plan is that ICON will issue the call for of interest. What was the first word? Expressions of interest in middle of May, so it's around 16th May. Initially, they planned to have a webinar days later, but Bart, what was the latest decision? So Bart suggested to have it the other way around. Not sure it will work
It's one of the things. This is Bart. One of the things that already happened is that, say, Jonathan Robinson and Lisa Fuhr, as co-chairs of the CW stewardship, have sent out a letter to the SO supporting organizations chair and advisory committees chair, announcing that there will be a call for expression of interest. And based on that call for expression of interest, say the call itself will go out prior to an explanation. So otherwise that letter would have been outdated or overtaken by events. So that's why first there will be a call for expression of interest, and then the webinar on explaining how the process will be run. That was the latest.
Yeah, thank you. Thank you very much, Bart. ICANN will not issue call for volunteers. So call for volunteers must be issued by particular SO or AC according to their own internal procedure. And currently we are working on this internal procedure. As you can see, a deadline for member appointed by a TLD that is not a GTLD or CCTLD from .arpa.gov.mil, it's by 15th of July. And all ACs and ASOs must submit their candidates by 22nd July. And then we have this window where first we as CCNSO Council and GNSO Council, first we must agree on the final slate, and then we as the councils must vote on the full slate. Now we're just in the process of discussing how we're going to coordinate this with the GNSO. One of the proposals during our discussions were that that is the CCNSO and GNSO, we appoint members who have voting rights. And for us, the most important criteria is their technical competence and competence in general. They must understand what it's all about. So therefore, other kind of their diversity, like geographic diversity or gender diversity or any other possible diversity, is secondary for us. Because for us, the main focus is on competence. And then one of the ways to achieve this diversity is to ask, for example, to ask other ACs, for example, to submit primary and backup or secondary candidates. This would give us some place for maneuver. So we could, if for example all the members are from North American region, then we can use these liaisons as a way to ensure that we have at least some diversity. So not all members, for example, are from one region, or not all members are of the same gender, for example, or women or something like that. So something that could give us some place for maneuver. But of course we need to agree on the final slate. Currently, yes, so we ask ACs to submit two candidates, and then we can balance the final slate in terms of all the other these diversities and things. Just trying to explain why we have you could see now in the latest version of the guideline, you can see some new things that we have currently. We have these six people who will. From council, six people who will try to work on the final slate of all the candidates. Regarding our plan, so how can we proceed to make sure that we have at least 2 weeks for volunteers to submit their expressions of interest? And what can we do to ensure that the council has enough time to first vote on select our own members for the CSC and other time for other arrangements? So the plan is that we should have our guideline ready before the council call in June. Then the council could have time to read the guideline and make sure that they are okay with the process that we have developed so far with our proposal. And if it works okay, then the council could adopt the guideline and in Helsinki, before Helsinki, we should actually send out information to probably even before the council adopts the guideline, we should send out to the community information about the process. So how are we going to proceed? For example, right after the Helsinki meeting, we issue call for volunteers, so they must be ready to submit their expressions of interest. And then we give at least 2 weeks for our volunteers, and then we need time for the council to select the right members for the CSC. So are there any questions about the process so far? Oh, it's much more clear now than it was a couple of months ago when we started. It was a total mess. Now it's really shaping, and it's still a bit chaotic, I must say, but it's much clearer now in terms of the timeline, in terms of the policy and our own process. So any questions? Mark, maybe you want to add something.
Not yet. Martin has his hand raised.
Yes. Martin, please.
Thanks, Katrina. Like you, I feel a little bit more comfortable seeing a timescale in front of us. So thanks for those who put the effort in to develop that. I think certainly I can recognize a lot of the difficulties of finding suitable candidates, particularly as a lot of the suitable candidates will be people who don't normally turn up to ICANN meetings. And so it does seem to me that the sort of statement that you made, Katrina, that you have 1 week for getting your candidacy into the process seems to me to be threateningly short. Threateningly short because not only do the TLDs have to go back to their offices and discuss with people, they then got to go through some internal process for agreeing that very often key people will be freed for, albeit perhaps, let's hope, a very short period of time each month, but that person's got to volunteer and agree, and the company's got to agree to make sure that the person can be spared for doing this work. So I wonder whether we can try and factor into our thinking something that allows us to set that process going in the thinking of the CCTLD registries well in front, so that when we are in the position to agree the guidelines, it is already so well understood that people are then ready to come up and say, you know, we're willing to volunteer this person. And so we just put that on the table and see whether the CCNSO Council can perhaps sort of think a little bit laterally about how its approval process could go to allow that little bit of extra leeway for getting those key people to step forward. Thank you.
Thank you very much. Martin, I don't remember ever saying that 1 week, give one week only for CCTLD. Maybe I wasn't clear enough. So we have 2 weeks for a call for volunteers when we issue it after the health meeting. But as I mentioned, even before the council adopts the guideline, we should send out information to the community saying that this is coming, please get ready. If you're interested, start preparing whatever you need to prepare. This will be the process. You will have 2 weeks to submit your expression, but it doesn't mean that you have to start writing it as a good student the last night before the deadline. No, on the contrary, that's what I'm trying to say, that we need to inform the community before. So, is it clearer, Bart, anything you'd like to add?
Yeah, maybe, and just to reinforce what you were saying, say this working group, because it's all IANA process related, does have the CCTLD world list available to reach out to all CCTLDs, and also to say the general email list of the CCNSO members and the CCTLD community. In addition, and that's clear from the the timeline as well, ICANN will start promoting the SO and AC application round in general. So that's why you have the ICANN webinar. So there is a whole cascade of informational events, and specifically for the CCNSO appointed members on the CSC leading up to Helsinki, which opens up the window for application. Effectively, maybe that's the best way to look at it, say that on the 1st of July or a little bit earlier, say at least after the final meetings in Helsinki, the window of application opens. And as Katrina said, I hope people have got their act together before that. So this is using both the it's leveraging all the means available to reach out to the community. Thank you.
Thank you, Bart. Martin said that we should send out information on 16th May to ask people to identify candidates. Maybe we can do it on 16th.
Katrina, may I respond to that one?
Yes, sure, yes.
Yeah, so one of the issues, and maybe it's a good thing to move over to the, say, call for expression as will be used by ICANN, because that provides a comparison with what this group is looking at. It's, Kim, can you change the documents? So, Martin, as to your suggestion, what you will see, the call for expression of ICANN is far more general, and there will be, as this group discussed to date, there are some specific requirements with respect to the CCTLD community. organizing already a CCPLD-specific outreach effort is probably preempting too much on the guidelines as developed by this group and on the council decision. At the same time, and say what we will do as staff or as secretariat is we'll forward the information and announce the of the call for expressions already, because that's just general information. And maybe so everybody can scroll. This is a document that was discussed last week, and if you would scroll down to attachments, that's process attachment form, where is it? Yeah, attachment 5, which is on page 10 to 14. And this one needs to be updated, and was presented or was developed by Donna Austin as co-chair of the design team that developed the recommendations around the CSC and ICANN staff. And as you will see, these requirements in a way are included in the draft guideline developed by this group to date. In addition, this group to date has the requirements that people should include a letter of their employer, if employed, around their availability, for example. And that's very specific for the CCNSO community, or the CCTLD community. And there are some additional ones as well. So this is just to show that you can't say, the process starts, these are the general requirements based on the work of the CWG stewardship, and then there are some specifics what needs to be detailed first, and then based on that we can start really informing the CCTLD community. Thank you.
Thank you, Bart. Well, it's not quite clear how this document works, because it's sometimes when Bart starts scrolling, it scrolls with him. Yeah, so I think I lost scrolling again. Actually, I liked this form for expression of interest developed by the group, because it's really very clear and it has everything in there. The idea is that SOs or ACs, in our case, we have the CCN, so we can add our own requirements here to the form, and actually we ask for all those who are interested to submit it, fill it in and submit. So Stephen is asking how many members are we looking for at the end of the day. So for CCNSO, it's 2. We have 2 seats, and 2 seats for registry stakeholder group, 1 seat for non-CCNSO, non-CCTLD, not GTLD, TLD that is neither CCTLD nor GTLD, and then we have I think one mandatory liaison from PTI, and other liaisons from other SOACs are not mandatory, so they are, if they want, they can appoint them. So I think that that's what we're looking for. Yes, Martin.
Thanks, Katrina. Okay, just for assuring that I've properly understood this, that this expression of interest document will be issued by ICANN through its normal processes. There is presumably at that stage nothing to stop the CCNSO Council sending that expression of interest out to its lists, both the CCNSO members list and the non-CCNSO members lists, advising them that the CCNSO needs to appoint two members on this committee, and pointing to the expression of interest document. It just seems to me that not everybody, and in particular not the people who are most likely to be of greatest interest to be members of this committee for the CCNSO community, not everybody spends a lot of time ICANN watching. And therefore, we just need to try and make sure that that information is going out and all the CCTLDs are aware that the opportunity is available and they can start their internal process, because their internal process, I think, could be quite slow, because they've got to get volunteers internally. They've got to agree to that person being able to spare the time. And that's not over obvious to me as to how easy that is going to be. Thank you.
Thank you very much, Martin. This is not entirely correct. ICANN is not issuing something like call for volunteers. They're informing the SOs and ACs about the start of the process. And according to the proposal, SOs and ACs, they select their candidates according to their own internal procedures, hence the guideline we're working on. When we send out call for volunteers, we will use this form as a basis for it. But we will add our own requirements, and we will add whatever we need to add. We can't issue, send this out and say to our, to CCTLDs, fill in this form that we will, first of all, the process must be clear. So there must be guideline adopted by the council. Unless we have it, I can't see how we can start our internal process. Because this is not what we're going to ask from. Many of the things that we have in this form will work for us too. But we wanted to have some additional requirements, and we must work these requirements into this document. And we cannot send it before the council adopts it. And for council to adopt it, we need the guideline. So that is, yes, exactly. The letter is directed to SOAs, not to the people who are interested to serve on this committee. Are there any more questions, or is it clearer now? Well, at least I think that... I think we cannot send it just right after the ICANN issues it, because it is not ICANN's. Our people will have to respond to call for volunteers issued by CCNSO, not by ICANN. Bart, anything you'd like to?
Maybe, in addition, nothing would prevent the CCNSO or the CCNSO Council to already start announcing that, say, if you're interested, start preparing and check whether you will be available, well, you do have the time, because it will be forthcoming. And the exact details will be known around Helsinki, but at a minimum, people need to meet some of the requirements that are included. So to make the point from Mark, or to make that say include Martin's point, I think the information sharing prior to the Helsinki meeting might be very helpful for people. So to prepare once the window is open.
Yes, that's absolutely correct. Totally agree with that. That's why I said that we need to inform the community before the council adopts the guidelines. And that's why we need to help the council to work on this email informing our community about that they have to start thinking about volunteering. So that's there's no... I think we all agree on that we need to inform the... It would be really bad if there's information out from ICANN and the CCNSO does not respond to any way. Of course, we need to inform our community. So no disagreement on that. But we still need our guideline. We need it ready for the council to adopt. Okay. Yes, absolutely. Inform as soon as possible. I think we'll try to work on this email that we'll send to the community before we have before this well. After this is out to the public. Yes, outreach. This is a 3-0 principle that we can adopt and follow as soon as possible. Okay, so now when we agreed on the 3-0 principle, can we go back to the actual document and see what we have there? Because this is something that we... need to have. Okay. We have a latest version on Google Docs. Oh, no, this is not the Google Doc. This is PDF. Can we probably go to the Google Docs because we have all the comments there and. Not sure we have any comments on the PDF. Okay, a little bit bigger, if it's possible. Yeah, I saw some anonymous owls and otters. What else do we have there? Oh, anonymous duck commented a lot today. No idea who was anonymous duck. Okay. Yes, a little bit bigger. Thank you. Okay, very good. Much better. So, who will start commenting? Maybe let's start. David, you have a comment there. Anything you'd like to add?
Katrina, yes. Hi, it's David. No, I need to pull the I appreciate the fact that it's on the screen, but I need to get the Google Docs out, and I don't have it up. But I'll do that and be back in a few minutes with that. But I was away all weekend without internet connection, and frankly, I haven't.
No worries.
Okay.
No worries. So meanwhile, we found the anonymous doc. It was Crystal. She changed some typos. Thank you. Martin, you commented a lot yesterday night. Maybe we'll take the lead now. So you probably still have everything still fresh in your memory. Martin?
Well, I don't actually have the document in front of me, and I haven't got scroll. But I did comment, and I wonder whether the easiest way of doing it is for us to work through the documents on each of the comments and see, for example, David's first comment on May the 2nd. I recommend that this paragraph modified to read as follows, which I must admit I thought David's comment there was useful and helpful. It just seems to me that perhaps if we go through in this in this way, then we can just tick off those things that everybody agrees to and kill the comments and update the text accordingly.
Okay, we can do it that way. Let's start with the first one. So David suggested to have wording changed. As far as I understand, according to the wording used in bylaws, in the draft. Okay, we can do that. And I will put the text there if nobody objects. According to Article 17, the decision shall appoint to members of the CSC to represent CCTO the operators. In addition, under Article 17, the CCTO and the GNSO together may but need not appoint one additional member of the CSC representing the top-level domain registry operators that are considered neither a CCTO nor a GTLD. Okay, so everybody okay with that? Okay, no. Yeah, okay, so seeing no objections, let's move forward. So we have some changes with added I. Yeah, okay. This is typo change. Okay. Now we have a title, Eligibility of CCNSO Appointed to Members, and here we talk that we do not distinguish between members and non-members of the CCNSO. So we're talking about CCTLDs here. But we have, we need to add it somewhere, all this, how we're going to handle is TLD registry operator that is not associated with a CCTLD or GTLD registry. And actually, we discussed this during our call. And apparently, this is something we'll need to resolve together with the GNSO Council. How are we going to select? To choose this particular member on CSC. Probably this is not the right place where to put it, but let's leave it for now because because this is something that we must solve a little bit differently. Okay, so we have a term of appointment, a little bit clearer now. Katrina,
yes, Martin, yes, had his hand up around this section.
Okay, sorry, I'm in Google Docs, so I don't see. Okay, thank you. Martin, please.
Thanks, Katrina. You know, it seems to me that if this document, the intention is to go out to the CC community, then I think your comment that that this should not be in our guideline is entirely appropriate, in which case, why can't we just agree to remove that unless anybody's got any objections? The only thing where it does have an impact is, and currently the wording I think is wrong, so if we're maintaining this, I think we need to rethink that wording, that if we have representatives from TLD registries that are not CCTLD or GTLDs, it seems to me that that decision has to go to both CCNSO and GNSO Council. It seems to me to be entirely inappropriate that just one of those councils could make the decision on that particular appointment. But I would have no problems whatsoever in your proposal, Katrina, that we delete that whole paragraph in addition and in accordance with. Thank you.
Katrina, may I respond?
Thank you, Martin. Yes, sure.
So, first of all, this guideline is not... is describing the process that's of say the selection and appointment in order to make very clear not just to the community but also to council who is doing what. So it's not so therefore it's more an accountability document than anything else. Secondly, say this language was cut and paste from the CSC charter that, as far as I recall, say, TLD operators not associated, so the .ARPA mill, etc., could either send in their application to the CCNSO or to the GNSO Council. It doesn't mean that they are appointed, but you don't want to end up in the situation that, say, one is only sending in their application to the CCNSO, the other one is sending them to the GNSO, and I agree there needs to be coordination between the two before one of them is appointed, if at all. So if you would have MIL, EDUI or ARPA all applying at once, there is only room for one member from that category of TLD operators.
Thank you.
Thank you, Bart. Yes, I totally agree that this is also a guideline for the council, but in any case, this is definitely not the right section where to put it. If we keep it, then it must be, we must have separate sections for that to deal with this issue and probably have it I'll describe it in more detail. So if we need the council to react, we need to give some more information on that. But again, that's why I'm saying let's leave it here for the time being, and we'll deal with this a little bit later. Definitely, at some point we will need to address it, but probably not... not here. Okay, let's go, if that's okay here, let's move to the next one. We have proposal from Martin here. Sorry, this is Martin. So, 4.1, the initial appointment process and when a member's term expires, the council should launch a call for volunteers in good time to identify and select candidates for the post. This should be at least 4 months before the renewal date. Okay, this is the proposal here. Any comments on that? I don't know. I think we discussed this during our calls with GNSO2 and ICANN2. I think for example, in this case, ICANN started by announcing or sending this information to CEOs, ACs. So this is kind of triggering the event. What we do with annual appointments, that's another question. So, Bart, I think you want to say something?
You're quite correct. And I say one point that Donna Austin really made was leave this up to the internal rules of the CSC itself, who the next round of appointments is triggered by the CSC chair, and the initial appointment is triggered by ICANN, and that's what we agreed initially as well.
Okay, thanks. So what do we do with this part? Be more specific, saying that it's CSC should handle that, or no? I personally like the approach that we have everything in time. We don't need to do something in a hurry, and so at least 4 months before the renewal date sounds very reasonable to me. Should we leave it like as Martin proposed, or we change anything? Yes, Bart.
The only thing is the initial appointment. That's the trigger one, the tricky one, because we're talking about the initial. I would say after the initial appointments, and then when a member's term expires, the council, and then in whenever member's term expires, the council should launch a call for volunteers in good time, or after the initial, the council should launch a call for volunteers in good time before a member's term expires. Well before a good time would be 4 months, for example, indeed. So this is the initial appointment we're talking about, and then in 2 years there will be a renewal, or the first term expires, and then 4 months before that term expires, the council should launch the process, unless the charter changes, but then this guideline needs to be updated anyway.
Okay, something like this?
Yeah, I would say after the initial appointment or after the first appointment, because you're talking about the initial appointment here in the heading. Yeah.
Okay. Let's move. Okay, that's same. The question. So, are we okay with The call volunteers shall include the following information and references. And in Annex A, we will have this updated form we just showed you. Does heading 4 need to change? Yeah. That's a good question. Yes, probably we'll have to move it somewhere else because, yeah. Okay, we will think about it later. Let's not waste time at this point. I will propose what to do with this one. So let's move forward. So that's what references, information in the references that volunteers shall include in their expressions of interest. Everybody okay with that? Okay, let's move forward. Selection criteria. So, Martin suggested that the candidate has a good understanding. So suggested an addition, and David added some. Martin agreed. Okay, so so we can do this. Is it okay now? The candidate has direct experience with and good knowledge and understanding of the operation of the ANA naming functions and of the needs of the customers. Okay, it's fine by Martin. Okay, let's move forward. The candidate is employed by a CCPLD that has supported the nomination and is willing for and will require the candidate to put in necessary effort to meet the requirements of the appointment. Sounds okay. We have it accepted. Okay, here we have some a clearer statement of diversity, type, experience, and size of CCPLD manager. Where are you here now? Okay, let's move to the next. Yeah, so here about Martin commented, do we need to say that selection against the ranking will ensure that the two CCNSL appointees will not come from the same region? As I already said in the beginning, apparently we will have to choose the best candidates who match the criteria, regardless of the geographic or any other diversity. We'll try to ensure the diversity by liaisons. So our primary concern is to have really knowledgeable people. Any comments to that? Okay, people are typing. You can speak up.
Steven, can you hear me?
Yes, please.
Yeah, my quick question, which I often just type, is one business day really sufficient to do the evaluation?
No. It's the secretariat will prepare the overall ranking of all nominees and report the rankings to the council. It's not about rankings. You do ranking, you have time, I think, at least a week, I don't remember. But when you submit, all the councillors have submitted their selections, it doesn't take so much to summarize all the votes.
The experience has shown we can do it, say, within a day, because the ranking comes in sequentially, it's just checking. So it doesn't take much work, but it's more to have, if they come in on a Friday afternoon, then you want to ensure that you will have them on Monday evening so nobody's caught off guard. Martin has his hand up, Katrina.
Yes, I see that. Martin, please.
Thanks, both. I certainly wouldn't disagree that we want the best people standing forward. But I think, nevertheless, for an organisation like the CCNSO, to say that, well, the two best candidates come from the North American region, for example, I think, a very bad sign to give to the rest of the world. So there is, I think, probably, so long as the general level of the candidates are meeting our specific requirements, and we are seeing those people as being all suitable for doing the job, then other things being equal, we really should be saying that, well, the first two were North American, but the third one on the list was just as good and comes from Southeast Asia. Would seem to me to be something that the council should have as not only an option, but a step that it should actively consider. Thank you.
Thank you, Martin. If we scroll a little bit back up, whoever is in charge of scrolling, please scroll a little bit up. Yeah, stop. As you can see here, the council is eligible to each compile a list of their top five candidates based on the selection criteria, also taking into account the diversity of the CCPLD community. Yeah, well, of course we can end up with two top-ranking candidates from the same region, or both would be women, for example. What if the third one is a woman, too? What if the fourth one is a woman? It's really very great to have diversity, but how can we ensure that with all things being equal, other things being equal? I'm just thinking from a practical perspective. I'm not saying anything. I agree totally, but... Okay, please speak, because it takes time to write, and we're already past the hours.
Sorry, Katrina, this is Bart. Maybe it's an idea, say, actively
yes.
taking into consideration. So it doesn't mean that you say it more or less implies that if things being equal, then people need to actively take into consideration. Yeah. Look at the diversity criteria.
No, it's absolutely correct. But the problem is that even if each councillor, when they work on their top five candidates list, even if they take it into account, we still can end up with two top candidates from the same region or same gender or whatever. So,
but then
which
the assumption
means
But then the assumption is that all think that this top candidate or these two top candidates meet all these criteria based on the skill set, etc.
Okay,
because that's the way it's recorded that way as well.
No, that's true, but. Let's not spend too much time discussing this now. Can I ask somebody to provide, Martin or Stephen, to provide the wording, what we do with the final list, not for every councillor to take into account, but how we're going to handle the final list of, let's say, top five candidates from all the councillors. Martin, Stephen, anyone else? Volunteers? David, thank you very much. So, David, volunteers. So, please take into account that we're talking about the final list of five candidates. So, how we're going to change that, but. In any case, please remember we have five regions and only two seats. In any case, we cannot make sure that all the regions are equally treated. Plus, I don't know what we do for the when we have to do this annual selection. It means that if you are from the same region, so you will never make to the top. Okay, so thank you very much, David. You'll try to do the first proposal. Okay, so we still have the same issue of it's not clear how we're going to solve this who stays for 3 years and who stays for 2 years. And during our call with the GNSO and ICANN, we discussed this with and the idea was that perhaps CSC should handle that. Probably that is not our task. So how they're going to solve this another thing. But of course, we need to ask if people are willing to go for three or they are okay to go only for 2 years period. Because 3 years, I agree with Bart, it's really a long time and it's a lot of commitment to commit to 3 years period. So most probably we'll have to this is actually something that also we need to take into account. If, for example, two top candidates, they both agree only for 2 years period, what are we going to do? Okay, let's move forward. something still we have to think about? Okay, let's go down to Article 5. I think council will not. Okay, so we have a short discussion with Martin here. So no, I cannot veto the seasoner or appointee. And Martin proposed that I think we need to be a bit wary of external perceptions. Can't we say that the council will notify PTI of changes to the appointed membership, copying this to the ICANN board? I'm not sure I understand that. Martin, can you elaborate more? This part is a copy from a proposal. Yes, please, Martin.
Yeah, well, in fact, what you say there is must submit to ICANN, whereas the CSC is a PTI body. It's the PTI's liaison, direct contact with its customers. When the CCNSO has made its decision, it will notify the PTI of the changes to their appointed membership. If it was seen to me to be not unreasonable to communicate that to ICANN, but all we're doing is saying more generally to ICANN, and no reason why this couldn't go to the ICANN board, the CCNSO has made the following changes to its representation on the PTI's Customer Standing Committee. It's just that at the moment must submit to ICANN has all the sort of sounds of it being that ICANN is going to make the final decision, which is not what we believe. Therefore, all we're saying is we're keeping ICANN informed. The decision is the CCNSO's decision for its members and what happens to the members. Thank you.
Thank you. Well, first of all, it's in there just to remember to add the wording that we have to send our selected members to, well, basically, yes, it's to, in this case, it's to ICANN, who will gather all information together and then will send the full slate of candidates to both the CCNSO Council and GNSO Council. So, of course, we will change the wording here, but I really don't... It's not the final. It's really not the final wording here. It's just a note to remember to add what we have to do something with not just select candidates and forget, but we need to inform somebody. Just to make sure that everybody knows. Okay, so I really don't think it's a big problem here because, as I say, the wording will change here and we will use the same contact information that we have. ICANN will have in its information about the expressions of interest. Here we have about the joint approval or separate approval. And we have Martin here. He commented that he would say that separate approval is foreseen in the bylaws. we, of course, need to find a way to realize a goal and have a meaningful way to try to do that in cooperation with the GNSO, but I do not think that it would be appropriate if the GNSO could block our choice of candidates. It's, of course, it's not the way it works, but please, well, we vote on full slate. So if GNSO Council does not adopt the full slate, then our candidates are effectively blocked. But I hope that, first, I hope it won't happen. The thing here was that should we have a call between, well, together, CCNSO Council and GNSO Council together, or we have, just to discuss the final slate, for example, if we have two primary and backup candidates from AC. And here we have, that's why a little bit before, in 444, the proposal that we have six councillors who work together with some councillors from the GNSO Council, and we set up the final slate and ensure that all the diversity and everything is possible. So not we, of course, I agree that it wouldn't be the right thing to expect everybody to join on the same call and have a meaningful discussion. But we will definitely need some discussion with GNSO Council before the actual vote. So we will need to. We'll definitely need to discuss this with GNSO. How we're going to show it here? Well, probably we should not include it in the guideline. We just talk about our how the council adopted. So probably we shouldn't mention GNSO here at all. Any comments? Any thoughts on that? Okay, are you still there, or I'm just talking to myself? Okay, at least some people are there. Okay, no comments on this one. I think we will just talk about CCNSO Council here and leave everything other outside. Okay, so, and what else do we have here? Martin's question, annual approval of full slate on ongoing basis. Yes, it's going to be annual. Oh, first time, it won't be annual. It will be in 2 years, but after that, it will be an annual approval. So I think we can resolve this comment. Yes, well, here, I think I commented here too, but perhaps I forgot to click on to save my reply to this comment. Yes, Martin, we discussed this. We discussed this for any reason or no reason by the CCNSO Council during our last call, and As I think David perfectly explained that, it's just to make sure that we do not get into endless discussions and arguing with whoever gets removed from the CSC. Probably, or maybe we can use some better wording here, but okay, Martin.
Thanks, Katrina. It's just at the moment that the CCNSO Council may remove a member for no reason whatsoever, and that obviously is not the proper intention here. It has a reason. It might not necessarily be able to publish that reason, but it should at least inform the sacked member of the CSC why they have been sacked. And I think you can overcome the incessant debates and arguments by simply putting in a statement that the CCNSO Council's decision is final. So that you can then just turn around and say, well, look, you know, we're sorry, we've gone through this and we don't think that you're performing correctly. Now, there's obviously nothing that can stop that person raising his grievances, but by actually putting in the CCNSO Council decision is final, would actually allow us to say the CCNSO Council can't just be arbitrary and decide without any reason that it wants to get rid of somebody, and that's the bit that's concerning me. Thank you.
Thank you, Martin. David?
Thank you. Let me begin. It's David McCauley. Let me begin by saying I almost always agree with Martin, and I defer to his better experience in this area than me. But I do see it a little bit differently. Katrina, you correctly summarized what I said last time. I think it's in the CCNSO Council's interest to have completely unfettered discretion here. And the concern I have, if a reason is given, is that it does encourage pushback, someone saying, well, I didn't do that, and to get into sort of a series of discussions that may not have an end, even if the term council's decision is final is included, because if there is an attack on the underlying rationale, someone might be saying, trying to convince the council that their decision needs to be reversed anyway. And so In the real world, it seems to me that no CCNSO council is going to want to sack anyone for no reason, and so that there will be discussion and there will be all these other things. I just think the point is there should not be a way that the council has to account for its activity at the end of the day. So I appreciate Martin's point. I think I just don't agree here. I think this is an appointment that's the CCNSO council's, you know, to own, and they should have complete control of it. So thank you.
Thank you, David. Martin, will you respond to that?
Certainly I understand David's comment, David's point of view. However, I'm still left with that thing that turning around and saying that the CCNSO Council can act without reason is a very, very strange thing to say. And the second sort of concern, slight concern I have, is that committees can always be captured. Committees can always be manipulated, and by allowing a committee to make a decision without some sort of reason, some sort of justification. I don't think it needs to end up justifying that, but I think if it has no reason and it sacks somebody, I could easily see the sacked individual and his organisation could well use different media to challenge and attack the CCNSO Council. And if it can then point to the guidance committee statement that the CCNSO Council can act arbitrarily, then that really, some stage down the line, is going to look very peculiar. So I wouldn't disagree with the concerns that David has got. It's just I'm feeling very, very negative, very nervous about wording that essentially means the CCNSO Council can act entirely arbitrarily. Thank you.
Okay, thank you, Martin. Martin, may I ask you to provide your wording to address the concerns that David raised and let's discuss it next time.
Okay.
Martin? Yep, okay, thank you. Okay, so what we have here, seven, next comment raised by Martin. Could we maintain a list of volunteers and be ready to appoint a successor from that list in the order of ranking from the assessment? This would allow us to minimize the period of the vacancy. Theoretically, yes, it would definitely save time and help us, but I'm just thinking from a practical perspective, will that work? And how can we ensure that? Because, three years period is already a very long time. How can we ensure that people can stay committed for even longer? I don't know how to ensure that. And again, I think it, if we need to look for another volunteer, I think, yes, we will be reexamining every year. So you mean that, maybe we can do that. I'm just not sure that people will be happy if the process is that we do not run the entire process in a transparent way, and we have some list of reserve candidates, and yes, Martin.
Thanks, Katrina. This, as an issue, actually got the accountability cross-community working group quite extensively. In this particular case, if you need to replace somebody because they're not doing the work, then the idea of having a vacant seat in the CSC from the CCNSO goes entirely counter to that idea that we, if somebody just wasn't turning up to meetings, we needed to be able to replace them quickly. That's why I actually think this is a principle could usefully be covered in these guidelines, so that everybody is aware that you've got two people who are currently chosen and one person who's on, or one person, perhaps two people, who are on standby as a possibility of replacing the replacing candidates, which doesn't necessarily mean that somebody's been sacked. It might mean that somebody's fallen under a bus. It's just the fact that you've got a contingency plan for getting somebody onto the committee very, very quickly, and we ought to be able to get wording in here that just allows that to happen. Thanks.
Okay, thank you. In that case, I think we need to add something into the this submission form question, like, are you willing to serve as a candidate in case you do not get selected and something like that. Okay, we'll think about this part as well. Okay, let's not talk about the call for volunteers at this point because we'll need, I think we will use this, the form provided by ICANN, and we'll try to incorporate our requests, requirements into that form. Okay, I think we've gone through the document and we have a to-do list. David agreed to give a first proposal for, okay, I hope so that David remembers on what. I'm sure I will also remember if I have enough time, but okay, I won't waste your time. About diversity. Martin promised to think about this wording to ensure that we, C-Central, can remove a member who does not perform without diving into too much discussion with the guilty party, so to speak. Bart and I will try to work on the rest of the document. Any other comments from others? Any questions? Any proposals? If not, then thank you very much for spending so much time on the call. Sorry it took us longer than usual. I hope that we will, well, in 2 weeks when we have our next call, we will have a clearer version. I think we also need to start working on the information for the council and for the community. I think in two, we will try to provide the first draft. David, you said you have prepared something before, so maybe... maybe we could. You could also help us to draft some information for the community. So thank you very much for being on the call and for your commitment. So thanks, and see you online and definitely in 2 weeks' time. Thank you very much. Thank you. Bye-bye. Have the nice rest of the day wherever you are.